Well, it's good to see you tonight. So glad that you're here and appreciate the fact that you're here to honor our seniors tonight. It's a night that I haven't been looking forward to so much, but it seems like it comes every year, you know. But it's a pleasure to honor our graduates tonight, and we're so thankful to have their families with us and some friends. And so we just are so glad you're here, and maybe you're here at Creekwood for the first time tonight, and we just want to welcome you. We are going to have a fellowship meal after our service is over and encourage everybody to stick around as we're going to honor our guests, have a little presentation, a video. We are honoring 9 graduates tonight, and so we're going to try and be respectful of everyone's time, but we want to give due honor to each of our graduates. So we'll try and get out of here at a good time tonight, but would love for you to stick around and celebrate with us as we honor our seniors. If you don't mind, what I want to do tonight is I just want to tell you a little bit about me. I want to tell you a little bit about my story. I grew up in the church my entire life. I have great parents, and they raised us in the church. I was baptized about 13 years old. And that middle school phase was sort of awkward for me. I was a pretty quiet and introverted kid at that time. It was a little awkward and very weird. Okay, well, maybe I still am weird. That part didn't shake, but as I grew older, I remember that summer between 8th and 9th grade, and it was one of the greatest summers I ever experienced. I remember I went to camp, I went on a mission trip to South Carolina. It was a summer that just changed my life. It was amazing. I was on fire for the Lord. I was ready to start high school, ready to conquer the world. And then I got into high school, and man, things just totally changed. Some of our high schoolers will understand what I'm talking about. And I just remember that my faith began to transition. That I went into this period of just sort of doubting whether or not God was real, wrestling with these questions. How could God be real? How could he have created the world? Is all of this really what God said it is? And then at some point, I transitioned out of that doubting phase, and I found myself in a phase of really rebellion, just hanging out with people that I shouldn't be, going to places I shouldn't be going, doing things I shouldn't be doing, trying things I shouldn't be trying. And that phase lasted for a little while until I finally graduated high school. And keep in mind, this whole time, I'm still at church every Sunday, every Wednesday. I was considered a leader in the youth group. I was leading singing. I was giving devotionals. I even went to Lads of Leaders and did a speech. I mean, on the outside, you would say, man, that's a solid kid. But on the inside, there were so many struggles. I was pretty good at hiding them. Well, then I finally got off to college, and I went to Faulkner University, a Christian university in Montgomery, and things totally changed. Back on fire for the Lord, everything was going great. I was just loving going to school, loving spending time in Bible class, and getting to go to chapel, and all of these awesome devotionals and experiences. And after the end of my sophomore year, I moved down to Gulf Shores, what was supposed to be just a summer internship, where I would then go back to Faulkner for my junior and senior year and graduate with a degree in youth ministry. And during that summer, I met this beautiful young lady. 10 months later, we were married. I had to figure out a way to stay. You know, and so I stayed in Gulf Shores. They hired me on to be their full-time youth minister. And things were just going great. We were just working like crazy and just in love and in love with the Lord. And things were going great. Until at some point, I noticed that another season popped up. I noticed that I left that season of love. And all of a sudden, I found myself in a season of obligation. Where I was at church, but I was sort of obligated to be there. I mean, I was on staff. I was paid to be there. And I noticed that my worship had become very routine. I just found myself going through the motions so many times. Well, at some point, that season or that phase ended, and then I found myself in another season. I found myself in a season where loving the Lord and loving what I'm doing, but just sort of searching through the Word all the time. All these questions that are in my mind, just trying to find answers and talking to mentors in the faith and just constantly thinking about it. Is this the way that the Bible teaches it, or is it this idea? And just what I would call a period of searching. That's my faith journey. That's where I am today. And what I want us to understand is that we're all on a faith journey. Every one of us in this room is on a faith journey. And not only that, but we're all in different seasons of our faith journey. And as I've looked back on my experiences and sort of watched the lives of others, I've boiled it down to 6 different seasons of a faith journey. You may want to add more, but these are the 6 that I've seen. I see a season of unbelief. This is a season where church is not your thing. You don't think about God. You don't care about God. It's just not on your plate right now. Just a season of unbelief. And then I see a season of doubt where you're wrestling with that question. Is God real? Did He really create this world? Does He really exist? Then I see the season of rebellion where this person is a child of God but have, for whatever reason, left that faith and just sort of living on their own, doing their own thing, not really caring. And then I see another season where I see a season of obligation where you're there but you're not really there. You know what I mean? You may have checked in on Facebook but you never checked in your heart. You just sort of go through the motions. You sing the songs, you hear the sermons, you hear the prayers, but that's really all about that it entails. And then I see a season of searching where you're just trying to find these answers. There's so many questions that you have about faith, about beliefs, practices, opinions, where you just want to know what the Bible says. And so you're just constantly digging. And then the sixth season that I can see is the season that I call the season of love, where you're just totally on fire for God. Your faith is strong and you are just loving your relationship with God. Totally in tune to the mind of God. And things are going great in your faith. Based off of that, the reason why I say we're all on a faith journey is because every one of us can identify with one of those seasons. And not only that, but it doesn't mean that we're always going to stay in that season. Every one of us is going to journey to another season. And things may be going great right now. You may be in that season of love. But understand, there may be something right around the corner. There may be some type of event. There may be some type of temptation that could cause that season to change. And we're all going on this journey together. Well, what I want you to understand are a couple of things about this faith journey. Number one, it's natural to go through a season of unbelief, doubting, or rebellion. And the reason why I say it's natural is because look at Jesus' closest disciples. Some of His closest disciples spent 3 years with Jesus, walking with Him, talking with Him, interacting with Him. They saw all the miracles. They saw Lazarus raised from the dead. They heard all of the teachings. They saw the lame made to walk, the dumb made to speak, the deaf made to hear. They saw all these things. Not only that, but they saw Him hang on a cross. They saw Him in His resurrected state. And yet some of them still struggled and still went through seasons of unbelief, doubt, and rebellion. I'll give you a couple of examples. Thomas, one of Jesus' apostles, got a nickname because of his doubting. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. You talk about rebellion there, right? And so it's natural to go through some of those seasons of doubting, unbelief, or rebellion. But the other thing for you to understand is that even though it is natural to go through some of those seasons, that there are dangerous consequences if we don't learn from and properly respond from each season. And so as we consider all of this, I want you to hear the word from the Lord tonight. Because regardless of what season you find yourself in, whether you find yourself in a season of unbelief, maybe you're here because somebody invited you, but church is not your thing, you don't think much about God, and that's okay, we're just glad you're here. So even if you're in a season of unbelief, maybe you're in a season of doubting. You don't know if God is real. You're just sort of checking it out. You're weighing the evidence. Or you're in a season of rebellion. Things are just going a totally different direction. It's not what they used to be. And you're just sort of living your own way right now. Or you're in a season of searching or love or obligation. You're just here because you feel like you're expected to be here. Or if you want to go to heaven, you know, you're always were taught, if you want to go to heaven, you have to go to church, right? Well, you don't have to go to church because you don't have to go to heaven, right? So, you know, you're here for whatever reason. I think the message from God tonight is the same for every one of us. It's a message that I don't want any of us to overlook, and it's the central focus of this message. There's one thing I want you to get tonight. We'll tell you a lot of things, but there's one overriding thing that everything's going to point to, and that's from Jeremiah 31 in verse 3. Now in Jeremiah is writing to a group of people who have been exiled. They've been taken captive. Their whole nation has been destroyed. A lot of their friends and family have been killed, and they've been living in captivity for a while. They feel like God has abandoned them. They feel like He doesn't love them anymore. They feel like they'd have just been better off to just follow whatever gods they wanted to follow. And Jeremiah comes on the scene, and he gives them a very powerful message. We're going to look at just one verse tonight, Because that's the one verse that I think is the most important that I want our seniors to get tonight. That it's the one verse I don't want you to ever forget. It's the one verse that I think every one of us in this room needs to hear. Maybe you're familiar with this. We all need to be reminded. Because regardless of what season of our faith journey we're in, we need to hear God's message. And so as Jeremiah is writing to this group of people who feel like they've been abandoned, he says these words from God. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I see a couple of things here. First off, I see that God's love, regardless of where you are on your faith journey, will never end. And you may think, well, wait a minute. I'm in a season of doubt. God can handle your doubts. He's handled doubts all throughout time. And He's given plenty of evidence to show that He is real. And you may think, wait a minute, I'm in a season of unbelief. God can handle that too. He's handled it all throughout history. He's dealt with people all throughout time who had no clue that the entire point of their existence was because He created them. God can handle your unbelief because you're on this journey. And the reason why He can handle this is because He is continuing to draw you in with His loving kindness. Now, we understand what this means. We just may need to explain it a little bit. Guys, you'll understand what this means, especially dads, married men, because you are successful at it. And you'll know what I mean in just a minute. So you're sitting there and there's this beautiful young girl. And she catches that sparkle in your eye. And you just sit there and think, wow, she is beautiful. And so you think, wow, I really want to talk to her, you know. But you start to get nervous, hands start sweating, you know. And you're like, oh, I really want to talk to her, but I don't know. And so, you know, your hands are shaking. And you finally build up enough courage and you walk up to her. And you start talking to her, but you're acting all smooth. You know, you are cool. You are slick. You are good to go. On the inside, you're as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. But on the outside, you are as smooth as they come. And you, those words are just flowing off your tongue, and you are just a sweet talker. And so you start talking to her, and you build up enough courage, and you ask her for a number, and you ask her if she'd like to go out with you. And much to your surprise, she says, yeah. And so you're like, whew, you know, I got that one off my back. And so now you set a date, for the date, and, you know, that night you get ready, you pick out your best outfit, you know, you bathe yourself in cologne, you've spent all day cleaning out your car, it is spotless, you could eat off the floor, you know, if somebody walked up and lit your carpet, you'd be like, that's totally fine, because it is as clean as it will ever be, and you drive over to her house, and you ring the doorbell, and you know, you're talking to her father, and you're acting all smooth, even though you're like, this guy probably going to take me out any moment now, but you know, you're such a gentleman, you open every door that she walks through. You know, you pull out her chair at dinner. You finish dinner and you decide to go to the movies and you pay them your right arm and your big toe for movie tickets, popcorn and a drink, you know, and you sit there in the movie and you have a great time. You laugh and you cry, you know, and then you go get back in your car and you drive her home and you walk her to the doorstep. And you tell her what a great time you had and how you hope you can go out again. And you walk back to your car and you do this all for the possibility of another date. You get back in your car, and you thank the Lord that that movie theater was dark so that she didn't see the sweat stains under your armpits that were the size of Rhode Island, right? All for another date. Am I right, gentlemen? We do it. And then that next date comes, and you go shopping, and you hate shopping. But you like this girl, and so you love shopping, right? Because you just want to draw her in. We used to say you're trying to woo her in, you know, which kind of sounds really weird. It's really fun to say, I want to woo you in, you know. But that's what you're trying to do. It's like you're just trying to pull her in a little bit more and a little bit more until finally the two of you fall in love. Spend the rest of your life together. That's the idea that God is giving us when He says, I have drawn you with loving kindness. He's gone far above what needs to be done to show us how much He loves us. And so God can handle your doubts. He can handle your unbelief because He's still working on you. He's still trying to draw you in. And so because of that, I want you to understand a couple of things. I want you to understand that you're going to have moments of regret. But they don't have to define you. Because God is never going to stop loving you. There's so many people that think, you don't know what I've done. We've all had those what was I thinking moments. Some of us could write books about those what was I thinking moments. And seniors, young people, you're going to have several what was I thinking moments. Those moments where you're like, oh, I don't want that to ever be mentioned ever again. You know, you just regret it. You just curl up on the inside anytime somebody starts talking about a scenario where your public sin could come out, or that time where you just so embarrassed yourself. We've all got those moments. We all got the skeletons in the closet. And God says, that's not going to stop me from loving you. And not only that, but it doesn't have to define you. That doesn't have to be who you are. You messed up. That's not who you are. That's not your identity. And God says, that doesn't have to define you. Yeah, you may deal with consequences, because there's always consequences. But that's not what's going to define you. The second thing is that God may not have led you to it, but He will definitely lead you through it. Now you may be saying, wait a minute, that's not the saying. Well, I know that's not the saying. The saying is, if God leads you to it, He will lead you through it. But God doesn't lead His children to seasons of unbelief, doubt, or rebellion, or obligation. God doesn't do that. That's the devil working. That's our hard hearts. That's us giving in to temptation. And we find ourselves in those situations where we go, uh-oh, what do I do now? God may not have led you to it, but He will definitely lead you through it, because His love is from everlasting. And all it requires from us is just to take that one step back to Him. That's what Luke 15 teaches. Well, and then the third truth tonight is this, that God can use each part of your journey to strengthen your faith. And the reason why He can do that is because when you go through those seasons of unbelief, searching, doubting, rebellion, He can use that to give you perspective. It doesn't necessarily mean that He wants you to go through those seasons, but He can use it to give you perspective. Because all of a sudden now, you can empathize with people who are in a season of unbelief. You can empathize with people who have doubts, and you can share with them your experiences and what evidence convicted your heart. And when you're in a season of rebellion, you can look back, and then you finally come out of that season, and you get back into that season of love, you can see how God led you all the way through it. And all of a sudden now, you can share with people your story, your faith journey, of how God didn't give up on you, of how He continued to try to draw you into Him through His loving kindness. And through your story could lead someone to be drawn closer to God. And so He can use every part of your faith journey to draw you closer to Him. And so, seniors, I don't want you to ever forget that God never has, nor never will, stop loving you. My goal for you, our goal in our youth ministry for you, the goal of this congregation, the goal of your families has always been to teach you to live in the everlasting love of God. That's why we've done everything we've done. All of the trips, all of the late nights, the hundreds of Bible classes, all of the devotionals, everything, the movie nights, the game nights, everything has been to teach you to live in the everlasting love of God. But I know, just as well as you do, that we can quickly find ourselves in seasons that we're not satisfied with. We can find ourselves in seasons of unbelief, seasons of rebellion, seasons of obligation. And what do we do? Because when you're not satisfied with something, why stay there, right? Why just sit there and say, this is how it's going to be? That's crazy. We don't do that in any other aspect of life. Why do it in our spiritual life? And so tonight, maybe you find yourself in a position where you say, you know what, I'm not satisfied with this season of unbelief or doubting or rebellion. I'm not satisfied with the way things are going. Or maybe one day you look and you have this moment where you say, wait a minute, how did I get here? I don't want to be here. I want to be back in that season of love. But what do I do? How do I move back into that everlasting love of God? Well, He never took it away from you. He's always loved you. He's always working to draw you in. But how do you take that first step? Tonight I want to give you four things that you can do. Four things for you to do that are very familiar to you. Four experiences that every one of you has experienced at least one of them, if not several of them, or for some of you, all of them. And so I'm hoping that by bringing back some of these memories to you, We're going to tag to it a spiritual action that you'll never forget, because I know you'll never forget some of these memories. And so I'm going to give you four things that you can do, that when you find yourself in a position where you're not satisfied spiritually, that you can do to get back into that season of love. The first one is this. Just continue to spread the love, just like you're at Rainbow Omega. You're going to hear it tonight. As I went through the senior questionnaires, there were so many of them that said, what was their favorite youth group memory? Rainbow Omega. Rainbow Omega. Why? Because when you get to Rainbow Omega, and if you've never been there, if you don't know much about Rainbow Omega, let me just tell you this. They are some of God's most precious children. They are people who will make you feel like a rock star. You are the king of the world. You are the greatest person on the planet when you walk on the campus of Rainbow Omega. These are people who have developmental disabilities, but they love unconditionally. And so you find yourself in a season you're not satisfied with, then just remember to treat people like the residents at Rainbow Omega treated us. And the reason why is because a couple of reasons. Number one, it's going to enhance your relationships. You're going to have closer relationships with people when you treat them by the golden rule, because that's the way God designed it. When you treat them the way you want to be treated. And how many of you loved being treated that way by the residents at Rainbow Omega? How many of you just felt awesome that, wow, I can't believe they think I'm that special? Well, you are, because you're a child of God. And when you treat other people that way, you're going to have some great relationships. But the other reason why is because when you do that, you're going to see Christ all over the place. You're going to see Christ in so many different people. So just spread the love like you're at Rainbow Omega. The second thing is to serve the least of these, just like you're at Inner City. This is one of the best works we've been involved in. We pick up children every Tuesday night from September to about the second week of April. These kids come from some hard homes. All they know is to fight. That's all they know. Argue, swing, hit, that's all they know. And we get them on our bus and we want to teach them another way. We want to teach them about love. It'll test your patience. Larry's shaking his head. Larry knows. It will test your patience. You will almost pull your hair out some nights. But you know what? Every night you go home and you lay your head on a nice pillow in an air-conditioned house, you say, wow, I am blessed. You walk in and your mom and dad give you a hug, give you a pat on the back. Maybe they fixed your lunch and you say, wow, I am so blessed. It's humbling because it gives you perspective. It reminds you that life's not about me. It's about serving others. It's about investing in them. Because we have a responsibility as Christians, a duty, to minister to those who are without. So just serve people like you're at Inner City. The third one is just search God's Word like you're at small group. We have had some of the best Bible studies at small group. It may not be what you're thinking. Small group is just an event that we do on Tuesday night that sometimes it's small group like 3 or 4 of us. Sometimes it's small group like 15 or 20 of us. It's always one group and we just sit down and we just talk about the Bible. We just open it up and we say, all right, what you got tonight? What do you want to talk about? What's on your heart? What questions do you have? And we'll talk about what we think and what we know, and then we go back to the Bible. And we say, all right, here's what God's Word says. How do we apply it? How does this deal with this situation? And we dig and dig and dig into the Word of God. So you're in a season of unbelief. And just open your Bible. Just read the evidence that God has given you. And you may say, no, I don't want to do that. Well, if for no other reason, You'll never find better advice on finances and relationships than in the Word of God. So if you read it for no other reason, read it for that and then watch what happens. I promise your life's going to be transformed. But maybe you say, well, I'm in a season of doubt. Well, there's plenty of evidence as to who God is in His Word. Maybe you're in a season of obligation and you're sort of going through the motions. Then allow the Word of God just to refresh in your love for Christ. Or maybe you're in a season of love. Then that Word is just going to take your faith deeper and deeper and deeper. So just search the Word of God like you're at small group. And then the last one is this. Just surround yourself or surrender yourself in worship like you're at Gulf Coast Bible Camp. I think the majority of our young people would tell you there's nothing like worshiping at Gulf Coast Bible Camp. It's not because there's something divine about that place that's not here. It's not because there's something weird that goes on at camp that doesn't happen here. It's just something about that environment. It's something about getting away from the world. It's something about being there. And I've thought about, what is it that makes worship so easy to surrender myself in when I'm at camp? I don't know, but I've thought about a couple of reasons. Maybe it's because it's just, you can see God more clearly when you're at camp. You're fasting from the world. Maybe it's because it's easier, or, you know, you can see change in other people's lives more. It's more evident. Maybe it's because it's just easier to surrender yourself. Or maybe it's because confessing sin is a normal thing there. That there's not hardly a night that we're out at camp that somebody doesn't confess some sin that's in their life. And it's like wildfire, it just catches and just spreads, and everybody has this desire to just be right with God. And there's no shame. There's just this openness, this genuineness. And because of that, it's just maybe easier to surrender yourself in that worship. Well, church, there's no reason we can't have that atmosphere here. There's no reason you can't have that atmosphere at the congregation where you find yourself, where maybe you go off to college, or maybe you get move away from here and you find yourself in another place. There's no reason why you can't have that type of worship where you're just surrendering yourself. Because it's nothing about the location. It's all about how you've prepared and opened your heart. Because you decided, I'm going to allow God to work tonight. I'm going to surrender my will. I'm going to kick out all the distractions. I'm going to focus on Him. Is it easier at camp? Well, sure. You're away from the world. You're fasting from the world. It's all about effort and preparing and opening our heart here in any place that we gather with God's people to worship. I'd like to take just a minute and pray for our seniors, and then we'll close out if you don't mind. So would you bow with me? Father, we're just so thankful for each person that's graduating this year. Father, you've blessed us with some tremendous young people, some tremendous families that are raising and have done such a wonderful job of raising these young people. Father, my prayer for them is just very simple, that you would continue to remind them of your everlasting love. Father, that they would know that you will never stop chasing after them. You will never stop drawing them into your love through your kindness. Father, help us as a church to encourage one another. Help us to be genuine, authentic. Help us to be compassionate. Father, help us to live in your love each and every day. Father, help us to surrender tonight to you and to your will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So tonight, will you surrender? Will you surrender to the one who has loved you from everlasting? Will you surrender to the one who never has nor never will stop chasing after you and drawing you in to his love and kindness? Will you surrender to the one who gave his life for you so that you could find life in him? In just a moment, we're going to sing a song. And as we sing that song, you have that opportunity to surrender tonight. You can make your way down front. And you can surrender to Christ through baptism, allowing God to wash away your sins through the blood of Jesus. Or maybe you are a Christian, but maybe you find yourself in a season that you're not satisfied with. You don't want to continue in that path because you're on a journey and you're going somewhere, but you don't like where you're headed. Maybe you want the prayers of this group of Christians to help you make that change and get back on the right path so that your journey is leading you continually into the everlasting love of God. Then this invitation is for you. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand in